Ladies and gentlemen, you all know that Dusty Rhodes has been injured. Well, we want to welcome back tonight Dusty Rhodes for his first interview since his injury. Here is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty, your fans welcome you back, man.
First of all, I would like to thank the many, many fans throughout this country that wrote cards and letters to Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, while I was down. Secondly, I want to thank Jim Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking the time, because I know how important it was. Starrcade 85, it is to the wrestling fans, it is to Jim Crockett Promotions. And Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, with that weight, got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect, no honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. 30 years, they give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time. That's hard time. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard time. And we all had hard times together. I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big. My hand is just a little big. But brother, I am bad and they know I'm bad. And there were two bad people. One was John Wayne and he's dead, brother. And the other one's right here. Nature Boy Ric Flair. The world's heavyweight title belongs to these people. I'm gonna reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering of the biggest body of people in this country, in this universe, all over the world. Now, reach it out, because the love that was given me, and this time, I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this Hard Time Blues Dusty Rhodes Tour 85. And Ric Flair, Nature Boy, let me leave you with this. One way to hurt Ric Flair is to take what he cherishes more than anything in the world. That's the world's heavyweight title. I'm gonna take it. I've been there twice. This time when I take it, Daddy, I'm gonna take it for you. Let's gather for it. Don't let me down now, because I came back for you, for that man up there that died 10, 12 years ago and never got the opportunity to see a real wolf champion. And I'm proud of you, and thank God I have you. And I love you. Love you!
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes fans.
Well, obviously you just heard the late, great Dusty Rhodes in one of his classic promos, Hard Times, from 1985. And thank you for downloading and subscribing to, or subscribing to, this edition of the Human Podcast Machine. I am Taz, and obviously come to you with a heavy heart, as most of the sports entertainment world and those of us that were lucky enough to interact, get to know, become friends with, or some known Dusty for many years. That wasn't me. I got to know Dusty, really know him for a few years during my time in WWE when he was behind the scenes there when I was an announcer. But I want to let you guys know that this episode, as you guys know, because you saw the promotion for it and the tweets for it, my guest is Enzo Amore from NXT, from WWE's NXT. And as I tweeted last night, for those that follow me on Twitter, and I'm recording this right now on Friday morning, June 12th, 2015. So Yesterday, Dusty passed away, as we all know, unfortunately. And my thoughts and prayers and my condolences to his family and his better friends and colleagues and all. And, you know, I just wanted you guys to know, and that's why I tweeted this last night, that the interview, the actual interview portion of this show you're going to listen to with Enzo, Enzo and I did that last week. And you will hear Enzo speak of Dusty Rhodes in praise, in positive, and how much Dusty helped him in Enzo's early career as a younger wrestler right now, as a younger WWE superstar, NXT superstar. So I wanted you guys to understand that it's taped. So and most of you guys know how this podcast stuff works. I usually do mine a little different, where I had a lot of live or more current elements to it. But the interview portion of this was taped, so you need to know that. And quite frankly, the opening of the show, once I'm done talking to you here and then you hear my music open, the front end of the before the interview, that was done yesterday morning, early morning. And honestly, before I heard or before news broke of Dusty, I mean, so that's why you would not hear me talk about that. So I wanted to pay my respects right here on this cold open. And just really just say, you know, what a great legend, what a great man Dusty Rhodes was, and just a true pioneer, a man ahead of his time. We all know that. I mean, just look on social media and just look at the amount of tweets of respect, of sorrow in the loss of Dusty from so many different generations of professional wrestling personalities or people who worked behind the scenes in pro wrestling, from wrestlers to announcers to referees to staffers, you know, production people, so many different generations. I mean, it's amazing. Just look as the current with these NXT wrestlers, these NXT superstars, these younger people, and how much Dusty, because he worked at the WWE Performance Center doing promo classes and stuff, how much he worked with these young men and women. Just look at that. Our current generation, that's really not even hit its stride yet. Dusty Rhodes has touched their generation also. Amazing. Just amazing career. That this man has had. And I remember whenever I would see Dusty backstage during my time, like in WWE, and he would always call me Tasmania. Tasmania, baby! That's what he always say to me. So I just always remember him saying that, and I just laugh. You know, he just made you laugh. He made you feel like you knew him for, like, you know, 30 years. And I didn't. I was a generation after Dusty, so I didn't, you know, I wasn't in the NWA with Dusty. I wasn't, close to him like that. I didn't know him like that. I didn't know him back then. I quite frankly, a lot of these, again, back to the NXT folks, a lot of them probably knew Dusty better than I did. You know, I never drank a beer with Dusty. I never ate a steak with Dusty. I never drove in a car with Dusty. But whenever I did see Dusty, he made me feel like I knew him as well as, let's say, Ric Flair knew him, or a Triple H knew him, or hundreds and hundreds of other people from our business knew him. I didn't know him like that. Whenever he would see me or anybody, he made you feel like that. True legend. Gonna be missed. So this show here, on my behalf, dedicated to the legacy and the memory of the great Dusty Rhodes.
Dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome!
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition.
I love this reaction show.
For the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
My man right there, Bazanji. He's the best, bro.
best hot new up-and-coming rapper you're going to find, dude. I'm telling you, this kid is just on the cusp. Listen to this kid. Yo, give my man Bazanji a follow, at Bazanji. That's at B-A-Z-A-N-J-I. I don't care if you like rap, hip-hop, old-school classic rock, metal, whatever you into. This kid's got the coolest vibes going. I never met the guy, and I'm calling him a kid because he's a student, actually, at the University of North Carolina. He's a Tar Heel, UNC style, at Bazanji. Check him out, bro. You're going to hear a lot of his tunes on the Human Podcast stream right here. And by the way, my name is Taz. This is HPM, the Human Podcast Machine. And it's summertime, and listen to this. Seth, what do you think, bro?
This is awesome. How'd you find this guy?
My son.
Yeah?
My son, yeah,
man. Tyler, shout out.
Yeah, bro. The Gooch, bro. 16 years old, you know. My kid's 16, so he's on top of it. He's like, Dad, listen to this guy. And I'm like, all right, listen. Man, he's smooth, brother. I gotta tell you. So, yeah, you're gonna hear a lot of Bazanji on here. Again, I don't care what kind of music you like, but he is definitely off the charts. Excellent. Great job right there, for sure. My man Bazanji. Yes. So, look, man, it's been a little crazy, right? Crazy wrestling week as usual. I mean, special guest, by the way. I want to point that out. That's most important here. On this edition of the Human Podcast Machine, coming up in a little while, my man from NXT, Enzo Amore, bro. Enzo, bro. You can't teach that. I love when he says that, bro. You know, and this one over here, you know what I mean?
Bada boom, realest guy in the room.
He's got all, he's certified That's G, great. Bro. Certified G. You know, so actually saw NXT last night and saw, you know, my man Big Cass and the very gorgeous Carmella and Enzo. They did a little pre-tape, well, an interview, I shouldn't say pre-tape, talking about a match coming up next week. So they didn't actually wrestle in the show, but was on the show. Good presence right there. So in this episode, you will hear an excellent chat with myself and Enzo, one of the up-and-coming superstars at NXT. I'm sure eventually will be on the main roster for the WWE. So they got a lot going on, man. WWE's got tough enough, but they're really pumping it hard, all the casting, all this stuff. So I think they're doing a great job, as usual, utilizing their social media. And so that's going to come out. Tough enough show is going to be different, I hear, than the way it's ever been done before, which is very interesting. So I
got a lot of cool people involved.
Yeah, I think they do too. I mean, they got credible people, cool people.
Daniel Bryan,
good
Hulk
mix,
Hogan.
Right? Good mix of younger folks to legends and Hall of Famers in a Hulk Hogan. Speaking of Hulk Hogan, that's a natural segue. Actually, I got to say, I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't have a little opinion about this kind of hockey NHL Stanley Cup fight that's going on. CM Punk against Hulk Hogan. It's, I don't know, man. This could be a shoot. People think it's a shoot. I think it screams work. Let me let me tell you what happened here. Well, actually, let me let you hear for yourself. Basically, CM Punk, he was at a Chicago Blackhawks on one of the games, and he had his jersey on. He's with all the fans. Everybody's going crazy. And he had a microphone. He cut a great promo, and he basically called out Hulk Hogan. Because, well, you'll hear it right here.
Hey everybody, this is CM Punk, and obviously I'm live and in living color here at the Madhouse on Madison in front of all these Blackhawk fans. And we want the cup. Now, normally, the less said about Hulk Hogan, the better, but he spoke my name first. So I'd like to point out that the Tampa Bay organization as a whole should be embarrassed for hitching their trailer such a piece of garbage that pronounced the captain's name wrong and then called Coach John Cooper John Connor. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in Chicago, and we're real hockey fans, and we want the cup. Tampa Bay's going down.
We want the cup. We want the cup.
So, it sounds like Mr. Punk, I don't know if he's working or not. He's a very good, what you call, shoot worker. So, meaning shoot style, where he could be shooting or not. You never know. And that's the key. And he sounds angry. I mean, because it's well documented. Punk's a, you know, he's from Chicago, and he's a big Chicago Cubs fan. He's a huge Chicago Blackhawks fan.
Diehard, like crazy.
Diehard, yeah. I'm assuming he's a Bears fan. I don't really know, but I assume. But anyway, you know, he sounded angry, where this all was sparked because Hogan, and you heard Punk say, said his name first, but You have the audio for Hulk. Hulk was, this was prior to this, well, to Punk's doing this thing.
But,
what's up?
But Hulk didn't even, I'll play the audio, the video. I don't think Hulk even mentioned CM Punk in the video.
He didn't, right, on Twitter, I believe. Yeah. Right, that's what Hulk did, and that's what I think Punk was referring to. Play the audio if you have it, you have it, right, of Hulk. And I think it was,
He said these fans can't even sell out the arena without Chicago fans. What's your message to Punk?
I want to tell Punk one thing. With Coach Connor behind the bench, Stamco, that whole front line, I would not want to.
Okay, stop for a minute. All right, bro. You played the wrong audio.
It's a newer one. We mentioned CM Punk.
Jeez. Yeah, I wanted you to play the audio that we discussed before the show. Yes, folks. That you had the audio which sparked this whole thing, which you should have probably played first. But why would you do that?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Do you have the audio of Hulk when he was getting interviewed? And I think it was at a, I believe it was at a charity type event or something, right?
I guess he'll get interviewed again so we can say the coach's name right. But John Connor's from Terminator.
That's no, John Connor was the fullback for the Jets. I think he plays for the Patriots. I don't know where he plays now, but I can't remember. But do you have the audio, Seth? Okay, you're working on it. So anyway, CM Punk basically, it seems like he was a little stiff on this thing just because of his passion, you know, and I respect that. I do, as an avid sports fan, I respect that. But I don't know if it's a work. I don't know if it's a shoot. Wait, he gave me the high sign. You have it, dude?
I didn't give you any sign.
No, you did. You moved your hand. Oh, you were picking your nose. My bad. So, I mean, I don't know. Is Punk taking this thing too far? I don't think so. He's passionate about his sports team. The series, it's as you listen to this, as I'm recording this, I should say, the Stanley Cup, it's 2-2. Lightnings and Black Lightning. Lightnings. How am I doing? Lightning, Tampa Bay Lightning.
Well, there's more than one player on the team.
Yeah, well,
right.
Good point. They are tied up, the Blackhawks and the Lightning, 2-2. And it's been a great series for sure. But you know what? If you don't have the audio, Jabroni, then just play the Jabba audio when Hulk responds to Punk. How about that? Do that.
That's what I was just doing.
Well, because you screwed up, smartass.
I'm sorry.
He said these fans can't even sell out the arena without Chicago fans. What's your message to Punk?
I want to tell Punk one thing. With Coach Connor behind the bench, Stamco, that whole front line, I would not want to be a Blackhawk tonight in Tampa Bay when the lightning strikes.
Oh, so,
brother.
So, yeah. Hulk, you know, hey, look, man. You gotta, you gotta respect when the Hulkster, you know, when he comes out and cuts the promo hard like that. I think these guys are working. I think CM Punk and Hulk are working. I don't know. But then again, I believe everything's a work. Everything. Everything's a work.
I'm with you.
Except your stupidity, Seth.
That's true.
No. So I still want that audio, but I guess you don't have it.
You're going to call out a 61-year-old man who can barely walk? Come on.
You talk about CM Punk?
Yeah, that's like me starting a fight with a blind guy in a wheelchair. Come on.
Well, I don't know about that. Hulk looks like he's in pretty good shape. And by the way, we are periscoping this right now.
No.
Hello, Periscope.
I didn't approve of this Periscope.
Yeah, I don't really care. So for you guys that are watching, I mentioned via Twitter that there will be, now for those that are listening, I'm talking to my phone because of Periscope. I mentioned that there will be this Friday, Enzo Amore from NXT. Well, that's this show. So I'm banging out the open right now, and then Enzo will be on. So there you have it. So anyway, I don't know. So you think that it's a little bit too much that CM Punk's calling out a man the age of Hulk Hogan and a legend like Hulk Hogan. That's what you think, right?
Yeah, but I agree with you, though. I think that they're just, you know, CM Punk's so good at it, you believe him. Like, he's such a great promo.
Oh, he's excellent at it. He's, you know, I guess that's called a shoot work. Wow, Seth, I believe you finally have the audio that sparked this whole thing. Would Hulk Hogan say what he said, and that led to Hulk tweeting and then Punk responding, which we heard. So we're doing this whole thing out of order thanks to you, bro. So, yeah, let's play it.
Okay.
I know you're a huge fan.
Yes, I am.
Give me a message to Chicago from Tampa.
Chicago's in a lot of trouble. You know, if we roll back the history books, my daughter Brooke, every time she sang at the home games, they never lost.
Wow.
And every time I had the Lightning shirt on and pumped the crowd up, they never lost. So I'm going home this week, and I think I'm going to have a little talk with some of the Lightning guys. Chicago's in a whole bunch of trouble, brother.
Well, there you have it. So that, and then I believe,
so Hulk's taking credit for all the victories, yes.
Well, actually, yeah, because Brooke saying
and whenever he goes and fires him up, they never lose, brother.
Yeah, look, I like Hulk, okay?
I like Hulk. Who doesn't like Hulk?
Come on. CM Punk, he doesn't like Hulk. That's what it seems like. I don't know. I think Hulk is working a little bit. But Punk, as I should say. But it's interesting. I'll tell you, I was watching the game the other night, and then I started thinking about CM Punk and Hulk Hogan. So I'm like, wow, these son of a bitches, they got me. Okay, so now I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what's going on in Punk's mind as he watches? What's going on in Hulk's mind as he watches? I think there was a better chance that Punk was watching. Hulk probably wasn't watching it. So I think if you compared who's the bigger fan, and this is my assumption because I'm entitled to that because this is my show, by the way.
Okay.
I think that CM Punk is probably a much more diehard, avid fan towards the Blackhawks than Hulk is towards the Lightning. That's my opinion on the situation. So that's that. Now, so last night, it was Wednesday night wrestling block, for lack of better terms. You know, you had Ring of Honor on, you had TNA on, you had Lucha Underground on. It's like you got so much going on watching. And I watched Lucha Underground, which I really enjoyed. Caught a little bit of Ring of Honor. I want to say one thing about Ring of Honor. The thing that jumped out to me is Jushin Thunder Liger, the legend from Japan, wrestled in the show. And I got to tell you, I wrestled Liger. I had the opportunity many years ago to wrestle him on his birthday, which, by the way, Seth, it's your birthday, so happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
You look great for 62.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Got my AARP card.
Dude, how old are you?
For real?
Shoot, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
We won't add a story about it. How old are you?
Oh, good. 45.
Man, unto me. You look, whew. Man, you look real banged out. How much stuff did you do back in the day? Jeez.
Oh, juice? Yeah.
Juice, you're 150 pounds soaking wet with a brick in your pocket.
160, pal. Let's get it right.
My bad. So anyway, Liger was on Ring of Honor, and I gotta tell you, it was cool to see him. He looks great. He looks the same.
He put a few pounds on, but he can still move.
Well, he wears the covered-up gimmick. He's got the sleeves, the pants, the shirt. He's been wearing that gimmick for years, and I never even see what this man looked like. I have no idea what his face looks like. I wrestled this guy. Again, I can't remember the name of his hometown, but I wrestled him on his birthday in his hometown in like a 25-minute match. It wasn't Tokyo. It was in
Japan. You wrestled a 25-minute match?
Oh, yeah.
That's a shock.
Many times. And the house shows, me and Sabu used to do like 30-minute Broadways on the loop, bro, all over the Northeast. Yeah. Yeah, oh, I'm not kidding. And I used to be able to wrestle a long time. but never on TV. It was always quick. I'd never overstayed my welcome. But I have to say, Liger looked great. I mean, he looked crisp. He looked good. He definitely put on a couple of pounds, but haven't we all as we get older? I mean, Liger's got to be, I'm 47, so he's got to be close to my age because we kind of had our career, our push around the same time. He had he was a huge star, much bigger star than me. Definitely, as far as Japan for sure.
One of the cool things is they give a tale of the tape on Ring of Honor. So they said, I think he made his debut in 1985.
Oh, so he's got me beat. I debuted in 87. I debuted. So
and he's still going.
It's about me, Seth. Don't you know? It's not about Liger. It's not about you. It's about me. Me, right?
Me.
Do it. Do it.
Me. Serenity now. You brought Liger up. I'm just,
No, I did. No. I thought he looked great. I thought he worked good. I mean, he gave the rub backstage, a little thing, showing the guy cheeseburger. That guy's funny. Show him how to do his stuff, palm strike, slaps, whatever he was doing. So that was cool. I mean, but NXT is what I watched. I got to tell you, I watched it the first half on the WWE Network last night. And then this morning, very early, I was in my favorite cafe here in Midtown. It had to be around 6 a.m. And on my iPhone, I've never used the WWE app to watch programming. I might be a dinosaur in this, but I've never done that. Yo, they're not playing around. This app is legit.
It works.
Okay, yeah, it works, and it works great. And it's just on demand. I watched it. I didn't have the audio on, so for most of the show, but I watched it this morning because I was in this cafe. They had music playing, and it was people coming in and out. You know how it is, dude. You're in New York City. You're in a coffee shop, cafe-esque type place at 6 in the morning, and it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon everywhere else. You know what I mean? It's packed. So and it's right near the train station over there. So I didn't have the audio on. I watched the NXT, and while I'm watching NXT with no audio, and I'm watching the competitors compete, and I'm watching the talent do their thing, you could feel the energy just from watching it. They look like they're having fun. Everyone's having fun in the ring. I'm watching Becky Lynch go to the ring, and I'm watching her do her thing. I'm a big fan of Becky Lynch. People know that. and she's having fun. You don't need to even hear the audio to watch her, and she looked great. I mean, and I got to tell you, it's just they and I've talked about it before. There's a certain exuberance they've captured on NXT, and it's there, that energy, that everything, and you don't even need the audio to do it.
I mean, when we talked to Bolin, you know, in the Enzo conversation coming up, they all root for each other, they all pull for each other.
The team atmosphere, right? Good point.
A little different than back in the day.
Speaking of Bull, yeah, a little different, bro. I've talked about it. It was the knives were out. I mean, not just WWE, anywhere. I mean, everybody talks about like ECW, like we were all buddies and all a team. Well, we were a team once the show started, but I gotta tell you, it was a cutthroat world. I mean, because I'm talking about mid to late 90s, you know, I mean, the business was hot, everybody was jockeying, and it was a cutthroat deal, and WWE too. I mean, the WWE locker room, from what I hear, is a different place than it was years ago, you know, and it's a different business now. Business is different. I've heard Ring of Honor is the same way. They got a very good camaraderie type locker room. So, you know, I gotta tell you, man, talk about Bull. Bull, you know, we starting to see the gimmick, right? He's doing, he's eating Doritos and all this stuff. And he did a gimmick where he's running around the ring and he blew up chasing Tyler Breeze. I mean, it was fun. It was cool. I put the phone to my ear to hear the commentary on the main event match, which I'll get to in a minute. Samoa Joe, which they plugged, was going to make his debut in NXT, which he did. And he did a great job. And he looked great, by the way. Physically looked great. Everything. His work was there, as usual. Finished him with the Muscle Buster. They called it the Muscle Buster, which I thought was cool. They didn't ignore that history. Real quick, I want to talk about Bull, then Samoa Joe. I thought Bull Dempsey and his interaction with William Regal in William Regal's office, I thought was excellent. Regal's great. He plays off people the right way. He's obviously a pro's pro. And I really, this is a gimmick where you can be a laughing stock, but I think Bull's in-ring work will prevent that because he can work. He brings that credibility, and I think he's doing it in an entertainment style. Yo, I don't remember, and that's what the Bull Dempsey thing reminds me of, kind of a little bit where they might be going, and some fans on Twitter were saying this too. Back in the old WWF days, in the early 90s, late 80s, whatever it was, Playboy Buddy Rose was doing the blowaway diet. Bro, try and find this audio. You'll probably find it because you're an expert, obviously.
I got it.
You got it already. You heard me say the name, and you got it that quick.
I know about the blowaway diet.
So you knew? Okay, that's great.
I was on it.
Play the audio.
That's why I'm 150 pounds.
You've tried and tried and tried, but no matter what, you still can't lose weight. But change is in the air. It's the Playboy Buddy Rose blowaway diet, and it makes losing weight a breeze. Here's how it works. Unlike other diet plans that restrict your caloric intake, the blowaway diet lets you eat whatever you want, whenever you want.
All right, so
forget about strenuous exercise.
The audio's funny.
A messy diet drink.
You can kill it now, Seth. The audio's funny, but watching the video, and you can watch it on WWE.com or WWE Network.
If you just Google blowaway diet, you'll get it.
Yeah, well, you're watching. I see you on the WWE site. So yeah.
Yes.
So the video is the best. We'll play with Buddy Rose. But the funny thing is, I can't remember the actual line, but it's yada, 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 losing weight is a breeze, or something like that. Meanwhile, Bull Dempsey wrestled Tyler Breeze.
Oh, look at the connection.
I just thought of that.
Wow.
All right, so anyway, I think Bull Dempsey, knowing him like I know him, and he was on my show, as you guys know, last week, he will make the best and the most out of this character, whatever it is he's doing, and he'll keep that credibility in the ring, because you could see, you know, like the way he competed, the way his physicality was in the ring with a Tyler Breeze, and I'm assuming WWE will book him the right way once the ding, ding, ding happens, because that's the key. In between the ropes, you can have some fun with it later. Like, remember, going back in time, like Doink the Clown. You know, back in the day, Doink the Clown was the funniest, goofiest, craziest gimmick, and there's a connection there, because the original Doink was a guy named Matt Bourne, for those that don't know, and Matt Bourne was the initial trainer of Bull Dempsey. And there you go. Segways all over the place. Tyler Breeze, blowaway diets, a breeze, all the stuff. Matt Bourne. So that gimmick, Doink the Clown, you know, was a ha-ha, ya-ya gimmick. But once he got in the ring, Doink was a tremendous competitor. Nasty, aggressive, violent worker. And that was Matt Bourne straight up. But in the gimmick, they let Vince McMahon back then, and the agents, Matt Bourne be Matt Bourne in character of the Doink character, but wrestled in an aggressive, violent, nasty form. Selfishly, I say, when I was the Tasmaniac years ago, you know, it was a ha-ha gimmick. Funny, funny gimmick. And people would laugh at you when you walked down, painted up, short guy, barefoot, the whole thing. But I made sure when I got in the ring, my goal was to be aggressive, nasty, violent, mean, so no one was laughing at me once I was wrestling. You know what I mean? That, and Missing Link was another guy back in the day. So I believe you could take a character that is a little bit funny, borderline, joking, jocularity loaded and all this jazz, and bring credibility when you have a guy like a Bull Dempsey who can work. You know what I mean?
Eugene too, right? How about Eugene?
Eugene's, there's a ton of guys. Yeah. Eugene's another good example. I agree with you, yes. So, again, like I said, they did a great job promoting the fact that in the main event of NXT, Samoa Joe was going to make his much anticipated debut. They hyped him, they built him, did the right thing, and they said Kevin Owens was going to join the announce team on color commentaries. William Regal said that, you know, which I think was a cool little twist. But I do have a little bit of a, you know, just if not just to be a little critical here, because I was able to put the phone to my ear even when I was in this cafe and listen to the commentary, because when someone debuts, in my opinion, as a former announcer, color commentator, debuts are vital. Debuts are vital. And I got to be honest, I think it's tough for the announcers to really hype and amp a guy's debut while he's wrestling when they have the NXT champion who's sitting next to him in Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens has got to go to Money in the Bank and face John Cena, you know, the U.S. champion in the WWE main roster. So, you know, I mean, so you can't ignore that this you know, Ken... You can't ignore that you got to ask Kevin Owens, hey, can you do it again? You beat Cena, you shocked the world. Can you beat him again, you know, come, you know, this Sunday at NXT, at Money in the Bank? So the announcers did their job in that regard, and Kevin Owens did his job in that regard. I just think it's a little bit of a tough thing. Then again, it's a one-hour show. Maybe they're trying to get a lot in that 1 hour. I don't know. I think that could have, I don't want to say hurt. And again, I'm being a little picky. I think it takes the focus a little bit off the guy who's debuting in Samoa Joe, who obviously they're going to push the right way and deservedly so. But it was good to hear Kevin Owens give Joe that credit he deserves and stuff like that. And I think they fixed it on the back end, in my opinion, when Joe said to Kevin Owens, hey, where you going? And, you know, Joe won the match with the Monster Buster, and then boom, he's leaving. Meaning Kevin Owens, and they had a little interaction, and Joe kind of punked out Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens being the right type of heel, and then William Regal came out. So you know what, you guys will fix each other next week. I think the way it ended was great. I'm just giving my opinion that I thought that it, you know, the announcing end of things could have been a little stronger to get over a debuting guy. You know, his legacy as a champion and stuff like that.
Yeah, true. I agree with you. I guess I'm thinking about. You got Owens against Cena. He's going to go against Samoa Joe. He's going against Finn in Japan.
How about the thing that WWE did with Finn Balor? I never saw that before, where they showed him standing there, and it was like a little graphic. Finn wasn't doing anything, and it said, you know, July 4th, Tokyo. I can't remember exactly what it said, but and it kind of faded in and out from Finn's face to the, when he's painted up, like real quick it did it. It was like a little tease of it. I couldn't hear what they were saying. What the voiceover was saying, if there was one, or the music. But it was the coolest looking shit, man. Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Dude, it's really cool. I mean, it's just, that's the great production end that WWE brings, and it obviously segues over to NXT. But I enjoyed NXT. I watched NXT and enjoyed it more than all the other shows that were on that night. I liked Lucha. I watched Lucha a little bit. I TiVo'd it late last night. I liked Lucha Underground, but I got to say, NXT, in my opinion, you know, I just like that energy they bring. I like the feel, I like the look. I like the youth of it. Like I said, the word exuberance. I think that's the best adjective to explain what NXT brings. And it's just the way it's shot, the way it's produced. You know,
it's a great show.
Yeah, it really is. And again, speaking of NXT, if you're just downloading or just popping in here, listening or whatever. NXT superstar, my man Enzo Amore, will be coming up here very soon, right here on this edition that you listen to right now of the Human Podcast Machine. So I am very excited, because you guys will, I promise, enjoy this interview with the extremely entertaining Enzo Amore of NXT. WWE Young Gun. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You guys will enjoy it. That is coming up next. Sit tight. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with my man Enzo. You can't teach that.
We'll be right back with the warm, cuddly, fuzzy Taz.
The Human Podcast Machine.
Let's talk about my boys over at DraftKings. So it's June, and the Bronx Bombers and the New York Metropolitans are in the top of the heap. Life is good. You want to make some money? Grab Harvey, grab Tanaka, grab Texera, grab some Astros and Cardinals. Call it a day. You're good.
Hey, man, I did pretty well. I took some Yankees, went against King Felix, and the Yankees smacked him around to share a little grand slam. Won a couple bucks.
Oh, wow. A little DraftKings action for Seth. That's very nice. I'm very proud of you.
Boom.
Good job, jobber. Well, anyway, hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Enter promo code TAZ, that's Taz, and play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes awarded this season. Use promo code TAZ for entry right now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. All right, here we go. We are back on the Human Podcast Machine. I am Taz, and as promised, on the hook is my man Enzo Amore from NXT. Enzo, what's up, Goomba? What are you doing?
How you doing, bro? I'm doing
how you
good,
doing?
Man.
Forget about me. How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, man, I'm living the dream out here. We're getting ready for a show tonight out here in Florida. Next week, NXT hits the road again. We're going to be in Cleveland, Columbus, Pittsburgh, and then we got a TV tape in the following week in Full Sail, so we're staying busy.
You're busy, huh? So look, so what's it like being over there? You know, you're a Northeast guy. You grew up in Jersey, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so
Hackensack,
I hear you. So I'm a Brooklyn guy, you know, so there's some similarities there. Not many, you know, we don't want to admit that as New Yorkers and New Jerseys, right? You know, we can't do that, as you know. But I got to ask you.
I don't know, man. I'm only a train stop away from Manhattan, brother.
Oh, all right. Oh, there you go. There you go. I got to tell you. So this, your gimmick, right? The gimmick, you and Big Cass and Carmella. I got to tell you, I grew up with about 5 million people like you. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I can relate to what you're doing.
I mean, it's funny because, you know, like you said, you grew up with people like what's on display on the NXT screen when me and Big Cass and Carmella walk out. It's organic. It's real. It's who we are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
So we don't got to fake it. So when we say bada boom real, guys in the room, it's because we're just up there being ourselves. And I think when you're real, you know, the people can feel that. And that's what translates. You know what I mean?
Amen. I totally agree with you. I can relate being the same way. I couldn't, like, my voice, you know, my New York accent, it just screams. I couldn't do nothing about it. So when I was a color commentator with WWE, Vince McMahon would be, at first, I think he liked the fact that I had this really heavy Brooklynese accent. And then over the years I was on the air, I think I started getting on his nerves. You know what I mean? But that's, you'll see one day, you'll learn that's Vince. But, you know, it worked out good. I was lucky for the opportunity they gave me. But what I'm saying is, You got to be real, bro, and that's what you guys are doing, you know, the 3 year, and you come out. When you come out, this entrance you guys have, the first time I saw you guys on NXT, I marked out. I'm like, look at this freaking guy and this promo he's cutting. The whole building is saying the promo. Every month, last time I saw, I'll be honest, listen to me, two times I can remember that I saw something similar to the vibe and the feel when you guys walk out. And not in any particular order. Was it during the ECW years when the Sandman would come out, Metallica would play, Enter Sandman, and the whole crowd would sing the lyrics to the Metallica tune? I get goosebumps talking about it because I was in the building when it happened. And that reminds me of what you guys are doing. Also, what's that? Billy Gunn and Road Dogg. Road Dogg would come out, the New Age Outlaws, and cut the promo, the whole building knew his promo. And that's, I'm sure you had other people talk to you about this stuff, but did you ever think that this, the gimmick you say when you come out would catch on like it has?
Uh, You know, it's crazy when you know, like, because you obviously you come into the business and you hope for the best, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I couldn't imagine it's falling into place the way that it has. I mean, a lot of it is honestly been timing and opportunity, you know, and luck, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me interrupt you real quick. Timing is the key, bro. You just said timing, Enzo. And in our business, timing's everything, as you know. And when a gimmick clicks, timing's everything, and you can't teach that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. You know, basically what happened to me and Big Cat and, you know, how we kind of got, you know, into the mix here down here in NXT. You know, Big Cat and I started out here. He, even a year before I, at FCW, we weren't in front of crowds of 10, 15 people out here in Florida traveling all over. Then, you know, Hunter had this vision, Triple H become the COO, you know, and,
yep.
and had talent, you know, and he had this vision of NXT. And, you know, when I first got here and they brought in, you know, some new people as far as, you know, suits go and the office. And, you know, we hear from a lot of people, this is going to happen, that is going to happen. And you never, when you hear these things, you're like, yeah, well, I mean, my boss, Hunter, you know, is telling me that it's going to happen, so I guess I believe it. But, you know, you never imagine that going from 10 to 15 people in an FCW crowd to, you know, 5,200 people in San Jose, California.
Wow.
Every single person, you know, knows the words to a promo and knows all the chants of the other NXT superstars, and the atmosphere is as live as any I've ever seen in this business. And I said to myself, you know, this is, you know, people are buying the network, and some people are buying the network just to watch NXT.
Amen. I agree.
You know, it was crazy. It was just crazy. And then, you know, we've hit the road since. We've been in Albany, New York. We've been in Philly, and it was surreal, bro. That Albany crowd, it was like me and Big Cat were working in front of, you know, the home crowd then.
I know. And listen, the key is what you said. When you're hearing this stuff from office personnel and someone like the level of Triple H, that this, you're saying FCW, how it's going to evolve and grow. So you guys are there from the grassroots, which shows, obviously, the respect and the pride the company have in you all, that they keep you guys and pushing you guys, because you're getting the ball and you're scoring touchdowns with it. And that's the key. As long as you can connect to the audience, and brother, you guys connect like better than anybody I've seen. I mean, to me, I'm a big NXT fan, so I love all the talent there. I never met you in my life. I don't really know any of you guys. I never met you. You guys are younger than me. But hopefully one day I meet you guys. But I'll tell you this. When you guys come out and Balor comes out, Finn Balor, when he does the gimmick entrance with the paint and this, those two entrances, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's phenomenal. And, you know, the network is the key, right? So the network has the success. And that right there, that kind of the awareness to see guys like yourself and Big Cass and Carmella, you know what I mean, or Balor, whoever, and the growth of talents that leave there, or like see right now with Kevin Owens, is starting to morph out, it seems, to the main roster. And that in itself is just the talent. Sami Zayn going, unfortunately, gets hurt, right? He goes against Cena on Raw. But like when I had Bull Dempsey on, I was talking about how it seems like you guys are a family or a team. You guys all support each other on social media when someone, boom, is on the main roster. It's that family. You feel that same family atmosphere there?
Yeah, man, it's kind of crazy because, you know, you start out here, like you said, grassroots. Some of us have been here longer than others, and some of us have seen the actual growth of NXT going from a developmental to an actual brand. So, I mean, there's no mistake about it that NXT is a brand. The proof's in the pudding. When we travel, we hit the road. The people know who we are, you know, as far as, you know, up and down the roster. I mean, everybody. And, you know, traveling all over Florida, we've gotten, you know, we sell out all the houses that we do, some small, some bigger than
right.
others. But, you know, on a social media platform, you know, when the network launched, and in due time, you just saw your followers going up, your interactions going up. When we started airing the live special takeover, we had the number one trending, you know, things worldwide at multiple points in the night. You know, as many as you can count on two hands, almost every single thing trending worldwide. So, like you said, the proof's in the pudding with the brand and everything, but we had established such a tight-knit group because, you know, the WWE built this thing called the Performance Center out here in Orlando.
Yes.
And it's got seven rings, a giant weight room, a lounge, a kitchen, locker rooms, green rooms. It's got everything that you could ever imagine. That you would need to be successful in the business. So, you know, thank you, Hunter. We like to call it Hunter's Ferrari. You know?
So, I like that.
You know what I mean? It's funny. Mojo was in there the other day throwing, like, you know, weights around, you know, and he, like, hit the wall. Like, don't scratch the Ferrari.
That's funny.
It's crazy. It's crazy because when you grind with somebody every day in the training setting, in the training atmosphere, because I think that's another reason why a lot of people, especially out here in Florida when we do these shows, respect what we do, because they know that we're coming from training Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're hitting the road, we're meeting at the Performance Center right after we train, we shower there, we hop in the car, we drive together, we, you know, make towns, and we, you know, we have good houses, and we rock the house, and then we get back in the car, then we train Friday, then we do it again Friday night, then we do it again Saturday. Then the next week we're doing that, and we're hitting the road and catching airplanes, and we're shooting a TV show out here. So the grind is so real that you can't help but form a bond with the people that you're doing it with.
To be honest with you, Enzo, it might actually – now, I've never been part of anything, obviously, with my generation, part of, you know, something like the Performance Center. We didn't have nothing like that, obviously. But I'll tell you, I know as my time as a wrestler for the years in the WWE, you know, the road schedule was rough. It was a bitch. But I got to tell you, hearing your schedule, understanding what you guys do, and talking to other guys in the business about NXT and stuff like that, trainers or what have you, it actually might be, don't take this the wrong way, it might actually be a little bit easier, and that's a stretch, on the main roster because of the training aspect and the mandatory lifts that you have to do in the weight room, right? Because it is mandatory lifts, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's mandatory. So, you know, but that's the thing about, you're a pro, man.
Of course.
If you're a pro in this business, you're going to lift weights, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they're paying you to do. They're paying you to go out there to look good, perform on every level in every aspect. And the fact that they gave us one of the best weight room facilities in the world, you know, and we have it at our fingertips. It's not like they're making us lift. It's like we want to lift there rather than Gold's Gym.
Going to a Gold's or a Powerhouse or something like that, of course. Nah, totally makes sense. Now, you came up. So, like, you, speaking of gyms, you broke in Jersey there. But you kind of got your initial training, right? Tell that story for those that don't know.
Well, basically, you know, like, as the saying goes, I stepped in some, you know what.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got real lucky. I've been a fan of the WWE as a business my entire life. And trainer for basically, I played college football. I played football, basketball.
You went to Salisbury, right, in Maryland?
Yeah, Salisbury University of Maryland, the Seagulls.
Yeah, man, I know. I my son plays lacrosse, and he has a couple of his buddies that played lacrosse there. And it's a great lacrosse program, as you know.
Oh, yeah, man. They got one of the number one lacrosse programs in the country.
Yeah, I know. It's tremendous. D3 lacrosse, phenomenal. Awesome. Awesome lacrosse. Yep. Anyway. Sorry. Yeah. Continue. I apologize.
Anyway, yeah. So, basically, you know, I train in the off season for football. A kid that I grew up with, Brian Cushing, plays for the Houston
Of course.
Tech.
With the USC. 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 Yep.
Yeah, he played for University of Southern California.
So, wait, let me interrupt you, bro. Hold on, Ashpet. So, were you from Bergen Catholic? You went to Bergen Catholic? Where'd you go to high school? Bergen?
No. My little brother went to Bergen Catholic. My pops went to Bergen Catholic. I wasn't exactly a Bergen Catholic.
I hear you. I only know it because you said Cushing. He went there, right, to BC?
Yeah, he went to BC. Yeah, he went to Bergen Catholic. I grew up in Hackensack. We moved to Waldwick. I went to high school in Waldwick.
Okay.
I had bounced around quite a bit growing up, going from this school to that school. I was a bit of a troublemaker.
I'm not surprised, bro. I'm not surprised. I hear you. I got something in common with you, but go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, I worked out at this local gym. At the time, it started off in a closet, honestly. It was a closet. We Joe DeFranco, the trainer.
I know who he is. Yep.
So Joe DeFranco, has a gym. He's training high school athletes, but only the elite high school athletes, really. It's like Cushing and all his boys and Don Bosco, Bergen Cap, and St. Joe's. Like, you know,
yeah.
And I see this, and I get in on it because, you know, I'm a good high school football player, but I know some of these guys. And so I start training with Joe when I'm like 16, man.
Yeah.
So starts off in a closet, ends up in, you know, a giant training facility in North Jersey, and has made himself into one of the most elite and well-respected, well-rounded sports, you know.
Sports performance, fitness instructors, yep.
Yeah, he's a spring. There you go, dude. You go.
I got it. Right. Yeah.
And so he's killing it, and it, like, I want to say it was like 2011, maybe the end of 2010. One day I'm in the gym, and, you know, I used to walk around in this persona EA all day, okay? And I used to pretend that I was, you know, a pro wrestler, and I'd walk around the gym. I just walked through life like that. I mean, I walked through, you know, college football, high school, man. I just wore this persona, and I would cut these promos, and I'd be cursing and saying hilarious stuff. and you know, I was a big fan of pro wrestling, so I would kind of act these things out as if I was a wrestler, you know? And Joe had known that I was a big fan of the business.
Right.
Life. And I wanted to do it when I was, like, you know, 18, but my pops was adamant on the fact that I'd go play college football because schools wanted me to come play college football, and I was a bad kid growing up. I didn't exactly have the grades to go to college. Nobody saw it coming, so my dad said, you better take advantage of this opportunity. I'll go away and play college football and, you know, come around. I graduate college. I'm managing a Hooters. Life is good. You know, I'm up there on Hackensack in Route 4. You know the Hooters?
Of course. Yeah, very familiar.
Yeah. So I'm managing that Hooters, and I'm going to a boxing in Patterson, New Jersey, at this place called Ike. And I'm training at Joe DeFranco's lifting weights. And one day, we're in the gym, and he says, hey, have you ever heard of this guy, Paul Levesque? And my jaw almost hit the ground. He's like, hey, call my phone. He wants me to train him. I don't know much about him. So I couldn't even comprehend what happened.
Wow. You really did step in. You know what I mean? Holy cow.
You couldn't even comprehend it. So what ended up happening was for the next year, like on the low, I got my little brother who's a beast, like videographer, cinematographer, film student, scholarship kid, like now.
Yeah.
Back then, he had like a decent little camera. So I'm like, hey, listen, kid, you're going to come with me to the boxing gym. You're going to come with me to the DeFranco's with weights. Then I went to the Hudson River and I cut a promo on a river. And my brother taped it and we took it. We mixed it all together. Then I gave it to Joe DeFranco, who I, you know, a very good relationship with. And I said, Joe, I've never asked you for anything. And, you know, I've DJed plenty. I was a DJ too in North Jersey.
So you were hustling. Bro, you were hustling. You were hustling all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm DJing. My pops is a DJ. I'm working weekends. I'm Hooters during the week. I'm a piano mover, bro. So I'm like doing, you know, I'm doing all this stuff.
You're trying to make ends meet. You're trying to do your thing, yeah.
Yeah. So, I make this video. I give it to Joe. I'm like, dude, I DJ charity events for you. I've done so much. I've never asked you. One time I had to go get my boy's pickup truck. And Stephanie McMahon wanted a giant tire, so Joe didn't know anybody with a truck. He, like, hit me out of the horn, like, hey, dude, Stephanie wants a giant tire. I'm like, no problem.
That's a great story in itself. That's funny.
I go to, like, a dump yard, bro. I walk up to the guy, like, what are you doing with that tire? He's like, oh, no, that tire's not for sale. It's thrown away. I'm like, okay. He leaves. I come back later on.
Oh, yeah. You got to do what you got to do. I hear you.
Me and my boy grabbed the tire, flipped it into the back of the truck, drive it away. I'm like, yeah, Joe, I got Stephanie your tire, bro. Don't tell her how I got it.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so I give Joe the video. He shows it to Paul, Triple H, and, you know, I guess I did some impressive things or whatever, but probably what was most impressive was the promo that I cut, I guess. So
you sure? Hey, you sure it wasn't a tire?
No,
I'm busting your chop.
Oh, well, what was the combination of those two things? I'm savvy. So, anyway, ends up showing the video to Triple H. Triple H ends up, you know, contacting me over the phone, and I couldn't believe my ears.
Wow.
You know, I see the number pop up, and, you know, from where I'm from, I don't know the number. I'm not picking it up. So
I hear you.
I look at the phone again. I don't know. This could be a guy calling me about the tire.
About the tire, yeah.
So I wasn't going to pick it up, and I pick it up because I saw Connecticut. I knew that Joe had you shown the video to Triple H, and he called me. He said that I'm going to have a tryout out in FCW. It's like a week long. I tried out. I signed with the company a few months after the fact.
So Enzo, what is this, like 2011, 2012? When is this?
The tryout that I had was in October 2012. I ended up being signed in around May of 2013.
Oh, so you had some months where nothing happened. Okay, yeah. I got you. Yeah.
Oh man, there was months in between, and you know, I was you know, shaking in my boots, and I was still grinding to make a buck, but my focus was on this. And I had asked at the time, because I had always wanted to get into the business but didn't know how, and I got so lucky. It was like, you know, meant to be. It was crazy. But you know what's crazy is Hunter, you know, he said, when I went down for my tryout, he said, you know, we're not doing this kid any favors. You know, if you don't think he's good, tell me. Yeah, he's like, if you're worth anything, we'll sign him. So I got signed, I guess, off of, you know, my tryout. I don't
wait,
know.
Wait, Enzo, let me ask you, hold on, I'm sorry to interrupt. Let me ask you a question. I have a question because I might forget. So here's the thing, right? So you go down for this tryout, but what do you do? It doesn't sound like you were ever formally trained to wrestle, though.
Oh, my God. So that's the thing, right? So here it is, man. My only introduction to the business ever. Before my tryout, Triple H comes to work out at the Franco's gym, okay?
Right.
He's in the gym working out, and I'm in there, and I walk up to him, you know, real polite, you know, hey, excuse me, sir, I would just like to thank you for my opportunity. I'm out at the tryout. If you have any advice for me, I would really appreciate it. And he said, you know, basically when you get there, go in, shake everybody's hand, and don't F it up.
Right. Well, yeah, there you go. He's right. Yeah.
That was it, man. So, okay. So shake everybody's hand, don't speak unless spoken to, and, you know, don't F it up. So that's what I did. I went down. I tried to be quiet as best as I could. It's not my nature. I shook everybody's hand every single day, and they ran me through basically, you know, how do you lock up?
Yeah.
How do you take a flat back, hit the ropes? And then at the end of that, you know, I took like a couple hip tosses or...
Wait. So you never did any of this in your life. This is the first time you've ever done this stuff.
Never did it before in my life.
It's an amazing story to me. This is awesome. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry. That's great.
Yeah, so I never did it before in my life. And I get down there, and they ended up actually putting me through a practice match. So I had been there for 4 days, never wrestled before in my life, got in the ring and had a match with C.J. Parker at the time.
Not on. Holy cow. Really?
So I think we ran a little high spot, like tackle, drop down, leapfrog, hit toss or something. And then, you know, I got up and he grabbed the headlock and he worked the headlock for a while. I thought it reversed it or something, like a top wrist lock.
Right.
He took the head and ran off, body slammed and finished himself.
But how did you know how to, wait a minute, because me being a former worker and a trainer and all, how did you know, did anyone teach you how to get out of a side headlock into a top wrist lock, or you just did it on your own?
No, when I first got down there, I worked with Norman Smiley for about 4 days.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, yeah.
So, this business, and as you well know, is unlike anything else.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, getting into it, I had done jiu-jitsu, box, played college football, you know, like, so I had like an athletic background.
Right.
In my mind, I was like, okay, I'll be all right. But, you know, when you get into it, you don't know what you're getting yourself into, you know?
Sure, so of course.
It's kind of crazy to get into it on the level that I got into it on, because, you know, when you're breaking in and you're a guy on the indies, or you're, you know, breaking in the, you know, in a training facility, you're, it's tough there.
Of course, yes, absolutely.
To do it on the level that I did, You know, I basically owe my career, I would probably say, to Dusty Rhodes.
I'm sure. A guy like that, learning from under a man like him is amazing.
Yeah, so basically, you know, Dusty, you know, he liked what I did on the stick, man. He's a fan of the promo work that I did. So I have a feeling he was probably a part of the hiring process, saying, like, yeah, sign the kid, whatever, we'll see what he's got.
Enzo, here's the thing. Now, speaking again as a guy who's, like me, who's been in the business over, whatever, 25 years, you know, and done everything you could imagine, I couldn't be any happy, any proud. I'm not putting myself over. I'm telling you that for a reason, because I can tell you, as someone who's trained guys and been trained, I'm proud to say I've been trained back in the day the right way, old school way. So I got trained by a guy named Johnny Rods. Johnny Rods, where Triple H got trained by...
Big Cass, the Johnny Rods guy.
What's that? I didn't hear you say again.
Big Cass is the Johnny Rods guy.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, there you go. All right, cool. Good, I got to have him on. And so Triple H, he got trained by Killer Kowalski. Now, Triple H and I, we kind of came up in the business like in that same era. We were around the same age, and, you know, and Johnny Rods and Killer Kowalski is from the same era, too. Same, similar training style. So I could kind of, I don't want to say think like him, but we're from that same world, you know. And so here's my point in telling you this. A guy like you is rare because, sure, guys can come up, get trained, pay their dues on the indies, then come to NXT or FCW, before it was NXT or whatever. Now you got to break those bad habits, and that's a bitch. That's tough to do, where you got to break guys' habits, where someone like you, Dusty or Norman Smiley or Triple H or whoever, they look at you as a piece of clay. They can mold you without the bad habits. Capiche?
Yeah, capiche.
There you go. That's it.
You know, I did get lucky because, you know, I benefited from the fact that I'm working with the best trainers in the world. It's the best facility in the world. And, you know, that right there, you know, is the opportunity of a lifetime. So,
yeah, of course.
Crazy. Yeah, it was crazy how it all happened for me. I owe Norman Smiley a lot of credit. I worked with Norman Smiley and Bill DeMott for the first year of my career. Then, you know, I had the opportunity to work with Ricky Steamboat when he was a trainer down here at FCW.
Yep.
Transition, you know, as you mentioned earlier, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, two guys, the New Age Outlaws that me and Big Cass get, you know, mentioned in the same sentence quite a bit. I get the opportunity to work with Road Dogg and Billy Gunn.
Wow.
All the time.
You're a lucky man. That's good stuff. Seriously,
Thank you.
The names you're mentioning, you know, I've had the opportunity to get in a ring with a lot of those dudes, you know, during my day, and you're in there with the right guys, man. I mean, that's why not just you, but so many of you cats at NXT are doing so well, and why the brand, to the point I made and you made, that the brand is a brand. It's not just some grassroots training facility anymore. It's not a training center, a proving ground, or whatever you want to call it. It is a brand. And I mean, look, man, when you come out and you do your thing, it's awesome. And I'm sure you have goals and aspirations on getting on the main roster, I would assume. Yes, no?
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I do want to obviously be on the main roster one day. That's the goal. You want to be at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
A guy that you know quite well recently was down here. He worked with us out in Philly, Tommy Dreamer.
Of course, yeah.
So I had the pleasure of meeting Tommy Dreamer for the first time, and he, you know, he did us the favor and graced the NXT ring in front of the fans out there in Philly.
Yep.
Who embraced him with open arms. It was cool to see, you know.
I'm sure he got I would assume he got a pretty good pop.
Yeah, I did. He got that Road Warrior pop.
There you go.
I don't downplay it at all. But Tommy Dreamer said something at the end of the show in Albany when all the talent had met. We had done our loop, you know, we did the Philly shows, then we did the Albany shows.
Yeah.
But something really struck a chord with me. He said, you know, I want you guys to embrace where you're at, what you're a part of, because you're a part of something special. He said, you know, I am here today, right now, you know, because of ECW. I was a part of something special, and I'm still getting paid to do what I love because of it. So if you guys realize, you know, what you're a part of right now in NXT is a part of this business and how much it can help you in your career. You know, he said, you know, like he said, he's still doing it based off of what he did back then and where he did it.
Well, because, and he gave you the right advice, and I basically ditto. I mean, I could say the same thing. If it wasn't for ECW, I wouldn't be talking to you right now, dude. I wouldn't have the opportunity I have, all the opportunities in my career, because you are, when you're part of something special, that's not just some niche thing. It's a special thing, like an ECW, or fast forward to an NXT. It really is. Now, the difference, obvious difference, you know, ECW, we didn't have a machine behind us like NXT has this WWE monster machine behind them, which is, look, man, as long as you got to do, homeboy, is go back to when you interrupted Triple H while he was training at the Franco's, and he said to you, shake everybody's hand and don't F it up. Same thing with this. Don't F this up. Keep rolling. You'll have a job for life. You're in a great spot.
Yeah, man, and that's the thing about this, man, is you know, for the people who love this business, who have a passion for this business, and those that are lucky enough to be a part of NXT right now and be a part of the television show and interact with these fans who, you know, a lot of people would say that the Full Sail University crowd where we do our television taping is reminiscent of the ECW crowd out in Philly.
I had Bull on and Bull Dempsey, and I brought that up. I said, "Why? I've never been to Full Sail. I've never been to any of your shows, but watching it on WWE Network, I could see that connection to your point."
Well, exactly. Just like you guys, you know, this crowd, it made me. You know what I mean? This crowd helped me. They're the ones who were the first people to repeat the entrance that I'm doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
And when they started doing it, and the network launched, and people started watching, they said, oh, who's this guy? And, you know, next thing you know, I'm in San Jose, California, and they're saying it. And I owe that to the fans in Orlando out here in Full Sail who travel or from all over Florida, wherever they come from, to come watch us perform at NXT, you know, when we do our television tapings. That crowd out there, you know, we owe it to them. They make our jobs, our lives easy, and more than anything, you know, we are able to go out of state, out of country, and people respond to us because of the response that we got from them.
Of course, and you're right, because the audience, the live audience at Full Sail, they're interactive with you guys, okay? And that's a huge part of the success, to your point. And again, not to hone on back to the ECW thing, but as you pointing out, that was a big part of ECW, was the fan interaction. And you guys have that through and through in Orlando, because one of the main reasons is, and the reasons the buildings you guys are playing, that the buildings you played in Philly and the buildings you played in Albany and San Jose, and it's smart the way it's being done by Triple H, whoever is doing it, playing in a little bit more of an intimate arena, an intimate venue, is what you guys need to keep doing, in my opinion, and it seems like that's what's happening, because it's better that way.
I mean, I'm a part of something that's real special, and I know it, you know what I mean? So I had the opportunity, you know, a few weeks ago, I saw Hunter at a TV taping, and I just grabbed him, and I said, you know, I want you to know that I know what I'm a part of and how special it is, and I wanted to thank you, because this is the coolest thing ever. And as you mentioned, yeah, you want to get up to the WWE main roster. That's the goal, right? Well, honestly, you know, like you said, I broke into this business in developmental out here. I
just
traveled the world wrestling all over. So I'm honing my craft every time I step into a ring, you know, out here. And I'm not in a rush. Honestly,
Good.
You know, NXT is a brand, and I got a lot to accomplish within the brand. But more than anything, I'm having a fun time doing it. I have a great gig, man. And, you know, the fans make my life easy for me, you know, as, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's not much to it after, you know, after I come out and do the deal, you know.
Well, bro, you're a made man. You're a certified G. That's well documented. No, you're a made man. I mean, no, you're made. I mean, and you know, it's. I look forward to one day meeting you and a lot of the other you know, wrestlers and superstars at NXT. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of you guys. I'm a fan of Big Cass. I'm definitely a fan of Carmella, bro. So, you know, fan of the whole thing. You know what I mean? It's like the whole shtick is great. You guys have a certain, as a team, as a unit, that whole crew, the three of you guys, there's a certain The it. You have it. You have that it factor. And I think it's cool to hear you acknowledge the audience in Orlando that come to Full Sail, not just folks that live in the Orlando area, but that come from all over the world to watch when they're down there those shows and be part of it and help build you guys as characters. For you to acknowledge that and to be aware that that's the case, man, just keep that focus, dude, because that's humble. That's being humble. And that's the key to success in this thing, man. No matter how big you get, Don't get an attitude, because I've seen guys, they get that attitude, they get that big head, and this shit don't last. So you got to be nice to the same people on the way up, because you're going to meet those same people on the way down.
Yeah, I've heard that before, man.
So shoot. I took that from Jackie Gleason in Honeymooners. Yeah, bro. Well, look, man, I appreciate you coming on. I want to have you on down the road. I'm going to tell you like I told Bull Dempsey. When you become like some big-ass star on like Raw, you know, you're still going to come on my show. You're not going to blow me off, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not, man. That's not my MO, man. It's my pleasure, and I'm humbled just to be on this podcast today, man. It means the world to me, bro. It does. I think you need to get Big Cass on here sometime, too.
Of course I'm going to get him on. I don't want to have you all on at once. I got to spread it out. I got to sprinkle it out. Got to sprinkle this thing. You know what I mean?
He's got a good story, too, bro. And I'm sure you and him talking about Johnny Ross would make for a great conversation as well.
Now, he's from Queens. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
Yeah, from Glendale.
Oh, from Glendale. Wow, that's not far from... I went to high school in East New York, which is not far from Glendale. Glendale's in Queens, for those that don't know. And East New York's in Brooklyn. But it's not far. So, yeah, wow, Glendale. I didn't know. Wow, I know a lot of people from Glendale, but he's younger than my crew. But and speaking of Johnny Rods, you know, you mentioned one of the main guys that was a trainer for a long time there throughout that whole FCW and NXT, Bill DeMott, another Johnny Rods guy.
Yeah, man, I got to work with him for a year, man, and that's one tough dude, bro.
Oh yeah, listen, bro, you mentioned Dreamer, mentioned Bill DeMott. I'll tell you, I'll show my age. I remember when I was the senior guy at Johnny Rogers School, a young man named Tommy Dreamer and a young man named Bill DeMott started around the same time, and I helped teach him how to lock up and stuff because I was the more senior student, you know. And
yep.
So I saw those guys from day one, man. So I have nothing but respect for those men.
Yeah, man, and we got some trainers down here, man. That hopefully, as I make it, and I progress, and all that, you know what I mean. I get to come back down to the Performance Center and thank them one day, because it's been one hell of a trip and it's still going right now. So as you mentioned, real quick before we go, right? So you said one day you want to be on the WWE main roster, as I do, right? That's the goal.
Yeah, but I see your. But hold on, but I see your point too. I mean, because being in NXT is a great thing. That's a brand in itself, as we documented here, and it's a shoot because it is.
Yeah, and by all means, and the longer I'm here, the more likelihood of my success up there.
Right. So I agree.
That's fine. So I'm not in a rush. But the reason why I said this is because, how about for you? What was it like in 2000 when you came out at the Royal Rumble in Madison Square Garden, where, I know you were part of the invasion with ECW and all that, but this was...
Well, that was after. Yeah, that was a couple of years after, right. My debut was 2000.
No, he's talking about the ECW invasion before.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that was a whole nother story, because that was... Yeah, felt like a borderline shoot when we were doing that. That was crazy, yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was different. But what I'm saying is, see, for me, if I'm going to debut on the main roster one day, I need it to be in Madison Square Garden. That's where my heart is.
I hope it happens for you, and I can tell you, Enzo, that night for me was professionally the most amazing thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. So I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'm so lucky that people still talk about it, and WWE... gave me that opportunity, Vince McMahon and stuff. Against, Kurt Angle, at the time was billed as the undefeated Olympic gold medalist and stuff. So to wrestle him there in my hometown right here, we're doing a show right now from Midtown, right down the block from Madison Square Garden as we speak. So that was amazing, bro. And I hope that happens for you as a guy from the Northeast, from Jersey, from the tri-state area. I hope it does happen for you, that you make that debut on the main roster, bro, because... I don't know if Triple H or Stephanie or Vince McMahon or anybody from the main office of WWE is listening, but just imagine, Enzo Amore coming out there with Big Cass Carmella out of the Garden, and that whole Garden cutting the promo with you, bro, I'll tell you, man, that would be amazing. And it would happen. They would pop and do the whole gimmick, the whole thing.
Oh, I just got chills, man.
I'm telling you. You never know. Stranger things have happened. I mean, you guys, like I said, the key in this thing, and I don't care if it's Matt Bloom, Triple H, Vince McMahon, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Norman Smiley, Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, any of these cats, anybody will tell you the key to being successful as a sports entertainer slash pro wrestler is connecting to the audience. That's the hardest part. You guys got that done already. You do. So, to me, you look like you're just, you're full steam ahead. So, I hope it happens for you at the Garden, bro, because, brother, it was amazing. So, the difference, though, I'm going to just tell you, here's the thing. So, the difference for me, see, because that kind of struck a chord for me when you said that. So, the difference for me, though, where you'll be in much better shape, hypothetically, let's say you do debut at the Garden at a Raw or something like that, or a WWE main roster pay-per-view. You know, the difference is, you're made in that WWE system. You were just molded in that WWE system. So if you get that opportunity and get that great moment, it'll be onward and upward in a positive way for you. For me, it was a little different. It was a different time then in the WWE. And it was a different mindset amongst the locker room and the writers and all that. So it was different. I was made somewhere else. And then when I went there, it was like I almost kind of had to reinvent myself, and the WWE had to reinvent me. So you won't have those problems because you're made. You're made from the machine. You know what I mean? That's a big plus for you, and I'm happy for you, man. And I think we just booked your debut for the main roster. So I don't know who the NXT writer is, whoever works on the Triple H, but you just tell him, well, Taz just booked this thing, so we got to do it now. You know what I mean?
I don't think I'd tell them anything.
Good point. Good point, bro. Well, look it, man. I appreciate you coming on here, man. You're a lot of fun to chat with. I can't wait till one day we actually get to shake hands and meet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, me neither. It's been a pleasure, and I'm humbled to be on a podcast with you today. Watched you as a kid growing up and a fan of that whole movement of ECW, and then to watch you, you know, like I said, as a guy from Brooklyn, doing Madison Square Garden. I can't even imagine what that was like for you, and I hope that I get to one day feel that same feeling you felt, man. That's the coolest, man.
I hope you do, brother. I think there's great things coming for you guys. You, Big Cass, Carmella, either collectively, separately, you guys are all super talented, and I wish you continued success. All right, Enzo?
All right, bottom boom, brother.
All right, bro, how you doing? I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
All right, brother, thanks.
See you, man.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, you hear my man, the smooth vibe tunes of my man Bazanji, bro. Remember, follow him at Bazanji. Check him out, bro. He is the man. All right, look, I want to say thank you, big thank you to all you guys for downloading and or subscribing this edition. Much appreciated. You guys supporting HPM and myself. And thank you to my man Seth, always jumping on here, producing the show, bringing it. He's actually working right now. That's why you don't hear his big mouth. And I especially want to thank the WWE for allowing my man Enzo Amore. And I want to thank Enzo, obviously, for coming on the show, and the WWE for allowing him to come on the show. Much appreciated. And remember, you can check out Enzo doing his thing with Big Cass and Carmella over there in NXT World on WWE Network. And keep your eyes on Enzo. I'm sure he will be on the WWE main roster sooner rather than later. And again, thank you to all you guys for downloading and or subscribing this edition of the Human Podcast Machine. My name is Taz. Yours is not. See ya. I'm on the map but can't be seen. Like an island, these garage band spitters thinking that they're gonna make it. I put my time in the game, patient till I take it, can't stop me. We in the ring and I'm Rocky, blowing up the game, I'm a Rocky. Yeah, you
you know the fame and the chain sound lovely, but Cole told the world it ain't worth it now, trust me. Got a couple dollars in a dream, but still struggling. Being raw dog in here popping, now I'm busting. So why you doing what you do if you don't love what you've been doing? If you win it for the money, homie, you gon' stay losing. And this life ain't easy, I'm feeling greedy. I want the game right now, but I know it's worth it. I'm all